Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Presenting Black Urban America, one of the few owned black radio networks in the country. If you're listening by laptop, if you have anything, any comments or questions, you could dial 516-531-9540. The lineup on a weekly basis. Tuesdays, we have Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones. Wednesdays, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne Williams. On Thursday, we have The Port of Harlem magazine by Wayne A. Young. And on Saturdays, we have Avaka Thorpe, I Caught the Sneeze. All shows starts at 8 p.m. And also, our website is up, We Talk Productions / The Think Network. We Talk Productions / The Think Network. Tonight, our guest is Ms. Felina Irene Barlin, who is an expert in technology, and she provides technical services to companies, and additionally, she is a representative of the Green Party. Tonight, we're going to be discussing a very critical issue, ADOS, African Descendants of Slavery versus Pan-Africanists, and also, if we have time, we're going to be discussing the Green Party strategy versus the Democratic set strategies in this country. Tonight, I welcome you, Ms. Felina Irene Farley. Welcome to Black Urban America, Ms. Farley. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I'd like to thank you for coming on the show. It's an honor to have you on this show. And I see in your background, you are a very technical left-brain person, aren't you?
Yes, and I'm left-handed.
Okay. Now, Michonne, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you all?
All right, Miss Farley, this is Miss Williams. She acts as my co-host. She's the one who comes with all of the questions. With me, I just have a conversation with you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, tell me, I've been hearing about this Green Party for the last, I say, 30, 35 years.
Yeah.
Can you break down? What is the Green Party?
Well, the Green Party is a very, I would say, progressive party. And there's been quite a few over the years. And I usually stick with the political compass because the left-right on the political compass kind of gets confusing the way we describe our politics sometimes. And and that political compass is what they use to try to, conflate the issue with when it comes to communism, the authoritarianism, fascism at the top of that compass, and then the libertarianism and the anarchy and the socialism at the bottom of that compass. And what's happening now is a lot of people are getting more well-read, seeing more documentaries, being more aware of things, and a lot of people are coming to the conclusion that we're not going to be able to change the system from within. If we just send a few good people in there, they can do it. They can change it from within. We got the squad. We got all these good progressive people. We slowly just infiltrate them. We can get what we want. And that's been the problem with, I guess, a lot of these reparation groups that came and gone. Well, not, and some of them are still here. But they all have this one flaw in common to me and most of us in the Green Party is that they can't let go of having some ties with the Democratic Party. I don't care if we're talking about ADOS and COBRA, Pan-African Congress. It doesn't matter. They cannot let it go. And until we completely let it go, we'll get what we want.
Well, let me ask you
this. That's what I'm here to talk about.
Well, let me ask you this. This is what we discuss many, 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 many times. The question that I put out to the audience when we talk about political issues, and like it says, I am going to repeat on many, 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 many times. When we discuss political views or political issues, I always ask my fellow black politicians, do we need a party of black folks? For black folks, for black thinkers, for black scholars, for black laborers, for black regular folks, do we need our own party? The red party, the blue party, or the green party? Do we need the black party?
Oh, well, I could tell you why that's a hard issue that a lot of black people feel as though they need, and that's because of what the Congressional Black Caucus has done. And what they have done is
black
not...
Black Caucus?
Right.
Hold it now!
I'm sorry. The Black Caucus.
You said, hold it. Okay.
I thought the Black Caucus was dead. They've been very, very quiet.
Oh, yeah.
That's for the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And it's so discouraging that when I try to explain that the Green Party has a black caucus, what happens is usually I have to explain that the Congressional Black Caucus has been dormant for so long when it comes to our black issues that I don't think black people know what a caucus does anymore. And
what does the caucus represent? What is a caucus?
Okay, so the Green Party decided to have caucuses, and they started caucuses, I think, when was this started? Let me pull that up very quick. Yeah, so I think they started it in 2008, and they started forming caucuses, and well, for us, it's about empowering a historically unrepresented person and taking up their concerns and needs as a caucus, okay? And the Green Party, we start off with a black caucus, a Latinx caucus, a lavender caucus, because that just is easier to say than a whole bunch of letters in the alphabet. The Women's Caucus and the Youth Caucus. And right now we're still trying to form Indigenous People's Caucus. So when it comes to issues that people try to use that, I don't like identity politics, we can caucus to address that those issues. We can caucus to run candidates to represent us in our likeness, in our and we know that are vetted to really push for what the black agenda of reparations. We have our Lavender Caucus to really push for Puerto Rico to have independence, because they've been pushing for this for years.
Independence since I was a little fella, and that's been for years.
I know.
In fact, the Puerto Ricans, I know this for a fact now. I see this with my own eyes and my own ears. I'm not reading anything or whatever. I'm just going by what I've seen with my own eyes and own ears. The Puerto Ricans of New York, or I should say the New York metropolitan area, they have been fighting for Puerto Rico because there's millions and millions of Puerto Ricans in the tri-state area of New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey, and beyond. Puerto Ricans, that's been an issue of independence, and that's been a struggle among that culture of whether to become independent of the United States. People don't know that Puerto Rico is like another state of the United States. Fighting for independence, discussing, and not just that discussing, but struggling whether they just should stay a part of the Union or become independent. What do you think?
I think they should be fighting for independence. I think the last straw was the hurricane damages and the displacement of families and using that opportunity for child trafficking, just like they did in Haiti. I think that's the last straw.
Do you think that black folks in America or African descendants of slavery should have independence like Haiti, Jamaica, and Puerto Rico, Cuba?
Well, I feel as though after we get our reparations, we're free to decide after that point.
But isn't reparation the same thing as asking the United States for money instead of breaking away and not asking her for anything? I'm just asking.
Well, no, because I know that is part of the African dysphoria, and there is some Black agenda people that do want to completely separate and go back to the original Pan-African ideology is, okay, this is a justice claim against the United States. Once that claim is just.
All right, now go into the difference between ATL. Oh, beautifully done, Ms. Farley. Go into the difference between the ADOS versus the Pan-Africanists. Right now.
The ADOS. That is like abandoning their ancestors that built this country.
Really?
Leaving them behind.
Is abandoning the tradition of the ancestry of Black folks in America?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I guess it's a tie because they don't feel that cultural connection with Africa and the Pan-African ideology. I would say that it's mostly because the whole, well, put it like this, the Pan-Africanism literally says that African descendants have a great deal in common.
Yes.
A fact that deserves notice and celebration. And the ADOS argument is that you are doing a poor job convincing us that we have anything culturally in common. That's the issue.
Why do you think this, and I'm going to get to you, Michonne, hold up. I didn't ignore you. Just give me a second. I'm just trying to get a thinking process here. Okay.
Hold it now.
I'm sorry. I keep on hitting this button because my fingers near to the button where I'm trying to express something. Why do you think there's such a difference to me, if you look at the underlying layers, there are similarities. And I just want to give you one thing before I ask this question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With the other culture, they can have 99 differences and one similarity. They still going to come together and go for the goal. With us, we can have 99 similarities and one difference, and we don't want to work with each other. Tell me, explain to me. I'm really having a difficult time to really visualize the difference between Pan-Africanism and ADOS when they both are discussing the freedom and the independence of Black folks in America. I know Pan-Africanism is more international. ADOS is really say, hey, it's descendants of people of slavery. But see, people don't understand. One boat stopped in Virginia and South Carolina and Haiti. They still have the same premises of being descendants of slavery. Well, one thinking is internationally, and one thing is nationally. Am I off course?
Well, the justice claim is the United States, and it's always been that way. What I try to warn Pan-Africanism about using. Attacking ADOS as being anti-immigration or hate Africans and all that stuff. And I have to warn them not to do that because it's the same way if you try to be anti-Zionism for the Palestinians and they quickly call you anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's used as a slur.
That's true. If you
and,
throw,
I, and I'm saying
that,
like
that,
they
that
have
is
to
so
watch
true.
That.
But that's been like that for years, Ms. Farley, because if you've been pro-Palestinian, that means you add time Israel. That that's just a plain fact. They've been fighting. They've been fighting for hundreds of years.
I know, but.
But
even
why is it? If you're a Pan-Africanist, let me get this right. If you are AD or else you are against Pan-Africanists, I just have a hard time really understanding that because ADOS should be part of the Pan-Africanist movement. It's still all about oppression and oppression of black folks globally.
Oh, yeah, I know it's global. I mean, that's exactly what Malcolm X said. But you can't expect the people, you can't expect ADOS to me, it's just a poor, what they did was unprecedented compared to other reparations groups. And the reason why I would say that it's a little bit, you know, more than just, they weren't, we already tried Pan-Africanism. We already tried the red, black, and the green. We already tried the awakening before. And it just didn't gravitate.
You really think that black folks, now after this, I'm going to turn it over to me, Sean. I know she's just bouncing in her seat right now. She's a radical woman. Me, she's just radical. Do you really, really think that black folks in America on a collective scale have practiced Pan-Africanism? Have gave Pan-Africanism a chance?
Yeah, they did. KRS won, all of them, and they all crushed that stuff. They crushed the music. They got rid of all that. I remember.
All right, go ahead, Michonne.
Okay. Let me see. Does ADOS draw a line between African Americans and other African descendants? Because if they are saying in ADOS, it's American descendants of slavery who they are talking about for reparations. And I understand that other African people in the diaspora ended up in other places, Brazil, Haiti, and different. So if they are solely focusing on the people in the United States, the African American ones from descendants of slavery here, what is the problem with that?
I don't know. I think the ADOS write-in for the U.S. Census was the smartest campaign that I've ever seen, that it scared the government so much that they changed the date from the end of October to the end of September next week. So that obviously had an effect, more better effect than any previous reparations groups ever thought of, because there's no debate on if you're American, you're filling out the U.S. Census, so that is covered. There is no debate if you're black or African, because you're filling that little circle, so that part's covered. Now, what are you filling under that line after that? I put American descendant of slavery on my U.S. Census. Because I'm tired of them telling us that they don't know the numbers. So that was more important write-in to be promoting right now. So we won't have this debate about who's descended of what, because we're talking about the U.S. Census right now. So there is no confusion there.
Hold it now!
My screen keep on going out. And I keep on punching it in. I never did that before.
So I think that was the problem that I saw a lot of pushback from, because I think that the so-called government insurgents that tried to attack ADOS was because of that. It was not because of the write-in for president. It was not because of the anti-immigration stuff and they're calling them Russian bots on Twitter and everything. It wasn't because of any of that stuff. It's because they pushed to write that in on the U.S. Census.
Okay. And how has Pan-Africanism changed since the days of W.E.B. Du Bois?
I think they're learning. I mean, from what I saw at the NCOBRA conference is that the elders that's been fighting this for a long time are starting to say, hey, we need to rethink our strategy here. They may have a point. That's
what
point
is that? What point is that?
The focus on the direct link.
Hold up for 1 second. Everybody, hold up for 1 second. What strategy are they thinking about changing? Because Pan-Africanism always talk about independence of all African people on earth, not just America, not just Africa, not just Asia, not just South America, not just Europe, but all over the globe. It's the independence of African people.
Right.
So tell me what they need to change.
We can only take this one step at a time.
But
you can't bring folks in for reparations and then say, oh, if you want reparations, you got to address your diaspora first before you can get it. Like, why? Like, what? Why is that a requirement? that's me being technical. Why is that a requirement to fight for reparations specifically against the United States? Why is addressing the diaspora a requirement? That's what they've been doing wrong all this time. Like, why are they making that a requirement to get it? Like, you must address all of it. You know, that is the point.
One month ago, I had these two brothers come on the show. They came on twice. I think 1 month in June and 1 month in 1 day in July. And they were talking about a rally and what have you, as they were talking about, and both of them were veterans of the military, of the United States military. And they said that the way the United States police law enforcement were conducted their tactics is against what military do when they go into foreign countries. It'll be against international affairs. But why can't the United States, the ADOS or Pan-Africanism or people of African descent, take on European or Western society to the international, not to the course of that country, because I think that's a failure. To me, that'd be a historical failure. But the international court, which is the Geneva Convention, why can't they take these countries to the international court? Like the Jews did Germany to Geneva. That's where international court is in Geneva, the Geneva Convention. Why can't that strategy be implemented?
Well, I saw they tried to do that with the stopping the pipelines, and they went to the UN and they tried, and they couldn't do it. So I don't know. If you want to say that they should focus on that, me personally, I would focus on how the reparations are getting paid for, because it requires a history lesson when it comes to Abraham Lincoln. And I'm glad all these statues are coming down, actually, because it gets us back to the focus on why was Abraham Lincoln killed. And they keep pushing this story that he was killed because he freed the slaves.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't.
He was assassinated because he destroyed the economic situation in the southern states. And economic
reparations require us to repair that history. Yeah. Requires us to repair that history and stop using us as a martyr. Like he was a martyr for us.
No, he wasn't.
And that is part of reparations,
if you look
too.
At it, Abraham was.
We want that part of reparations, and they got to demand that. Everybody has to say, like, look, part of reparations is getting rid of this narrative that Abraham Lincoln was killed because the banks are going to lose all this money from making slavery illegal, which is totally the opposite of what happened. So, obviously, it wasn't about that. They made more money during the black market trade of slaves. So,
This is what really confused me. I listened to a lot of different groups. Everybody say, reparation. But it's still, when you ask for reparation, you are still asking on the underlying layer. You're still asking massive for money.
That is That is where the Green Party will stick out. That is where we stick out. We stick out like a sore thumb.
Like Dr. King said, you know, the United States bounced the check. They bounced the check. They really owe us. Yes, we built this country, but still, yes, I agree they bounced the check. Yes, I agree they owe us. But like the gangster said, well, you know what? He ain't worth the money to break his legs. I'm going to just keep on going on and just make my own money. And just in the African world, just make my own destiny and my own independence. Forget it. Historically, the United States ain't going to give us nothing.
Yeah, more debt. That's what they're asking for. They're asking for more debt since that's our monetary policy is based off debt. So are we asking for more debt? Is that what we're going to do? I hope not. I hope people read the Green Party's banking and monetary reform platform, because I will fight tooth and nail over MMT using that to pay for reparations. That's just stupid.
Well,
I don't even know why that's on
Green
ADOS 101. Hey, they should really get rid of that. Like, no, don't put that in there.
Explain the Green Party financial 101.
Right. We're the Green Party, so of course we want to repair that history for Abraham Lincoln and put the green back into the dollar because he got killed over the greenback. So it kind of makes sense that we want the greenback back. so it's not hard for us. Just like the Green New Deal, that was us. And everybody stole it. And I was like, it's the Democrats made a Green New Deal. Like, we are the Green Party. Don't you think we made the Green New Deal first? But anyway, I digress. So our ideas do get stolen a lot. The Black Agenda report ran by Greens, Black people in the Green Party.
But do the Green
Harry
Party.
Harry started the Black Agenda,
well,
what, in 2003?
I'm going to ask you what every black resident or every black resident voter or every black resident in this country should ask. Every party. And I still support.
They should ask,
the
how do
ideology.
I start a black caucus? That's the
yeah,
first thing they should ask. How do I start a black caucus with
to
your
me,
party?
To me, there's no black caucus. To me, there's no black caucus. They're invisible. And I usually don't give my own views or perspective on my shows. I just let the guests give their own perspective views. I do not give my own views and perspectives. I want to let people think I'm very, very objective, which I am, but there's certain things that I just have to say. I just can't remain silent. And to me, the Black Caucus is invisible in 2020. There is no Black Caucus. I mean, they're more boisterous in the 80s, but in 2020, they're not. But let me go back to the question I want to ask you about the Green Party and the issue of the Black Agenda. Now, the Republicans do not even bring up the Black Agenda. There's no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats will put cotton in their ears when it comes to the Black Agenda. Black Agenda, even though there are black celebrities, community activists, and other black organizations support the Democratic Party, but they act like they've put cotton in their ears when it comes to specific, and nobody, and I'm talking about mainstream and black media, do not come out and ask, hey, address the black issues of America. Because our issues differ from other people's issues. I'm sorry to say, our issues are very, very unique. And our issues have been around for 152 years. Now, it's saying all of that, going through that spiel that I just went through, that history lesson. What do the Green Party have to say to the Black Agenda? Or there's 1A and 1B. 1A, what is the Black Agenda to you? And 1B, what do the Green Party say to the Black Agenda? Now you come to the table with
the Black Agenda or the... Well, we do fully endorse reparations. That's the entire platform at gp.org/platform. And it's under social and economic justice. And it has specifically saying that for African descendants of chattel slavery, they know this is not a debt. I mean, they know this is a debt. Not a charity. And it goes on about the Black Agenda. I know some ADOS, they were confusing the Black Agenda part with the reparations part. And now that affects all the groups, like, you know, the What About Them's, What About Me, and it's like, yeah, but that's what the Black Agenda is for everybody. That pretty much, that's like to me, the Black Agenda addresses the class issue with race, since it's kind of a conflating issue. I mean, how can you say the Black Agenda has police reform that's only going to affect black people? It's not going to affect, you know, Latinos or anything. You know, it's not going to be a positive for them. It's just going to be a positive for black people. You can't say that for police reform. So that needs to be part of the Black Agenda. It's not reparations. That has nothing to do with that.
That police reform really will not include black folks. I keep on telling others, and I'm going to turn this question to Michonne after I say this. I keep on telling people in conversation that I have outside of this radio program, I keep on telling people that our gender has to be separate. We cannot no longer, see, that's how we got fooled in affirmative action, the Civil Rights Act, and the Voter Rights Act, with the word minority. We can no longer come under that umbrella. It has to be separate for the word of minority. Go ahead, Michonne.
Okay, you mentioned that the Green Party's mentioned their stance on reparations. What exactly are they talking about in terms of reparations and the tangible?
Well, to me, the Green Party, the way they worded it, is what ADOS101.com did. The Green Party said that the people it affects and that will receive reparations should be the people who write what that looks like, not a political party. So we wrote it that way. We wrote it that what NCOBRA is doing is we endorse that. We endorse what ADOS is doing because we specifically said that the people that it affects should be the ones to craft what reparations look like.
Okay, and ADOS, they got, and everybody said, cut the check.
Mm-hmm.
Tangible 21.
They broke down the numbers. They did all that work. That it's great, except for the monetary policy. That's going to take some time for them to understand to totally scrap that. But everything else is fine. The numbers are fine. If we're completely state-run, banks are in control of the money, then, yeah, it'll work just fine. If we get rid of the Federal Reserve, then it'll work.
So what are the numbers?
Is pan-Africanism still irrelevant today?
Oh, no, it's very irrelevant. There's many people that are NCOBRA members that pay their monthly fee, and they are very active, and they're a part of ADOS.
So what are the numbers?
So most of the conflict I see online is not happening on the ground.
Okay, pan-Africanism and ADOS is separate. So
because they feel as though
ADOS or pan-Africanism or whatever. Where is the money going?
They disagree on the diaspora. That's the only thing that everything else is fine. They disagree on addressing the diaspora as a requirement.
Okay. Do you believe that charity should start at home first before we reach out to somebody else and get our own stuff straight here?
I didn't hear the beginning part.
Okay. Now, you said the only disagreement or separation from the two is about the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think if we're in America right now and we're black in America, descendants of slaves, don't you think before we reach out and try to handle and take care of somebody else's business in another country or another island or whatever, we should handle and we need to take care of us here first? Because I think we can't help anybody somewhere else until we help ourselves.
Right.
I think
that is what they did differently.
Okay, and what do you see that's wrong with that? Because I really don't see what's actually wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm not saying leaving everybody out, but I think you should take care of home first. If you got a problem in your house, why would you go over and try to take care of somebody else's when you need to straighten out your own?
Right.
I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
they feel as though if we don't understand the full diaspora, we won't see the imperialism as a whole of what the United States done globally, culture done globally to African descendants spread across the world. 'Cause it's supposed to be like, you know, when you have a more world view, you'll be, you know, I don't know. I don't see how it does anything either. Actually, but that's just me.
I think we have too many problems with black people going through here in the United States. And I'm not saying to ignore problems that other black people everywhere else in the world. But I think we have such a huge problem here that we need to focus on here first and get it straight here. Because if we run around everywhere else trying to help everybody else and get them straight and we still having a problem, that's the problem.
Right. See, that's why we have caucuses. Because, okay, let's say you're Afro-Latina. Okay? If you're Afro-Latina, you can join the Black Caucus, you can join the Latinx Caucus, and the Women's Caucus, okay? You can join, like, three caucuses. Oh, and you can be gay, too, so you can join the Lavender Caucus. There are, like, four, right?
No, I'm not doing that.
But would an individual spread themselves that so thin like that to be working on all these different caucuses and all these different issues that you're connected to, got going on? Could you really do that as an individual?
Well, first of all, I'm always black first over everything.
Okay,
so
you would join the Black Caucus first before you jump into some women's caucuses
first,
and all that stuff.
I'm black first over everything, so that really probably wouldn't be a no issue. And then if I wouldn't join no group that I don't think is actually doing anything relevant anyway. So just because of name or if it's popular, but if you're not doing nothing that I can see that are helping our people, I don't care how your name is out there or prominent sounding or looking, I won't be involved. Because I'm not going to join just because, oh, this is this group. If you're not doing anything, you won't see me there.
Right.
And I won't be helping either.
Right. So if they feel strongly about what's going on in Puerto Rico and they will put more work into the Latinx caucus and the working groups there. If you feel more strongly being black and proud, you're going to be in the reparations working group in the Black Caucus and work from there. If you're a Pan-African and you want to focus on international issues with Africa, you can be a delegate on our international committee. So there's supposed to be a place for, you know, a party is supposed to operate in a way that gives everybody a space to address their specific justice claims and everything that's on our platform. And that's why our platform covers so much, because we had enough sense to do that. And this is the problem I see with America. This is not a black problem, and that's where we have some conflation here. This is an American problem, not a black problem. Comes to this way of thinking, or when it comes to the Green Party, we are very, very popular in other countries. We are not popular
especially
here.
Especially in Ireland.
That is an American problem,
right.
Not a
Australia.
Green Party problem.
I saw it in UK. I did do a little research that they were popular over there and, you know, some of those.
And Ireland, too.
Yeah, the president of Ireland is Green Party. But that's what I'm saying. It's popular, and I when I petition, people think I'm talking about a weed party. So I don't know why. It's really bad that people don't know who we are. Really, really, really bad here.
We've probably been around for a long, long time.
It's still real, real, real bad. I've petitioned, I've ran for U.S. Senate, I was treasurer for governor races, and it's really, really bad that they don't know who we are.
But see,
okay, what are you all doing wrong that people don't know who you are?
It's an American problem, not a Green Party problem. That's the problem. It's like it's a part of the way when you're not set up in the capitalist society, if you don't operate in that mode, you will not be known, and you will be made not to be known, or you will be made to be hated. When the judge died, our organic reach went up 800% because of numerous attacks on people telling us, if you know, vote for Green Party, vote for Trump, and oh, now that this happened, y'all better not vote Green Party in swing states. And it was just madness. And I was just like, wow, y'all really actually boosting our popularity by attacking us, by kicking us off ballots. Independent media blew up about it because they can't believe it. Just like when Jill Stein got blackbagged in 2012 from the CIA or government, and they snatched her away, and people are outside crying because they thought they were snatched her away to kill her, and they took her to an undisclosed location, and they just had her sit there until the debate was over between Romney and Obama, and then they dropped them off in that white van in the middle of the street where their hotel was. And when I tell people that, they think I'm talking about a movie, okay? And this is our government that did this, but there is no way you could tell me that people knew that happened. The majority of people do not know that happened, but everybody else in the world knew that happened, and they were shocked. So then when she ran again and announced she was going to run at the Russian Today Correspondents' Dinner, and they keep showing this picture of Putin and Jill Stein, because I make fun of it, because I just look at it like Putin just looked at her like, you going to run again after they blackbagged you? Okay, you sure? So I made fun of the picture, but it just still, people use that to say we're Russian spies. So when I think the Green Party started to notice ADOS when the mainstream media started to attack them as Russians. And we're like, okay, wait a minute, hold on. They attacked us as Russian bots. Now they're attacking this reparations group. What's going on over here? So this is where we need to really be building strength. And Green Party is still hitting this wall when it comes to this issue.
I know for a fact that Donald Trump, I know for a fact that Donald Trump has Russian and mob ties. I know for a fact. You see, it goes back to his father in the 70s. I know for a fact that Donald Trump has Russian and mob ties. Let me tell you something. New York City, I know for a fact, all construction in New York City is mobbed up. And Donald Trump has been involved with construction since he was a young boy in his 20s. Since he was a young boy, there are pictures of him with monsters in the construction field. So say all of that about Russia ties and communists and what have you. There are a lot of politicians that have ties to different international outlets, I should say.
Mhm. Oh yeah. I know. But they but the funny thing about it is that the Russian spies kind of just like looked at it like okay, they're attacking their own. I guess we're not going to get into this.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Communism was really big in the 30s, 40s, and the 50s. The communism used to be real big from the Great Depression to the late 50s. And I just want to say this, if people don't cut me down, but communism was making a big pitch in the 70s. To Black America.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I know. That
yeah, but I think the Black Socialists kind of toned
yes,
that down a little
what
bit.
What's
the Black Socialists toned
socialist.
That down.
It was socialist, right.
Right. It was the Black Socialists toned that down. That, you know, communism is still up on that. Like I said, that's up there with the authoritarian. That's just alt left, and while fascism is alt right. But it's still up there as they're both authoritative. So
okay.
They both don't stand for liberty like that.
3 minutes and 20-some seconds. Oh, well, I have to apologize to my listeners.
Yeah, we
you
just
know,
went through
we
that. That was pretty fast.
This has been such a stimulating conversation, which we probably going to bring it back either near the election or election day or right after election and what have you. But just to explain.
Oh, it can't be election day. It can't be election day. I'm thinking about having a triggered party on my birthday because I figured that'd be the best thing for me, be, you know, an election baby. So I figure that my birthday this year, I'm going to call it the triggered party.
Well, you know what? Check this out. Election is on Tuesday, and my show is on Tuesday. Let's hook up where you're probably going to be for an hour a part of the show. Usually on election day, on national election, I have for 2 hours, the whole full 2 hours. Just
okay.
That would be a part of the whole party scene and whatnot. So, just display where people are interested, where they can contact you and stuff like that.
They can contact me at the ohiogreens.org. Just hit contact and hit me up there. I can also connect you with the Black Caucus if you're wanting interested in being more involved with the Green Party, and specifically wants to focus on Black issues within the Green Party, then you should definitely caucus with us because we get a lot done. If your state does not have every state has a state party, but they don't have a caucus, just let me know because we are working on getting more states to create their caucuses and, deputize treasurers for the caucuses. And just so a caucus doesn't have to deal with the overhead of PACs and stuff and filing and everything. They're just going to be deputies with the state party because we're very decentralized. So we tell people that caucus is great because, you know, there could be candidates that are independent or.
I'm on the 32nd now. I just want to thank you for coming on the show.
Oh,
I will invite
I'm sorry.
You back and everything. We've made it through another week. I am because we are. We are because I am. I'm sorry to get to the listeners for questioning, but just been a stimulus conversation. But we'll have her back as soon as we can schedule it. I am because we are because we are because I am. Thank you for tuning in. Good night.